A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Headed down the home stretch, final half hour here as we wrap up another week of KSL Outdoors Radio, coming to you in recorded fashion here on a Saturday, but you're hearing it as live, recorded on Thursday. So Tim Hughes still standing by here in the beautiful new studios of KSL Broadcast House in downtown Salt Lake City. Russ Smith in the beautifully redesigned SkyCoal compound up in Sugar House is still there. And Bob Grove is hanging on with us from his office, as he put it on Facebook this week, down there in St. George. You really have an office in that house?
Yeah, I do. It's even got a bed in it. I take a nap during the day.
See, that's what happens when you get... That's the problem with working from home right there. You look at the desk on one side of the room, the bed on the other, and go, I'm going to take a nap. He did remind
me. And I do.
Yeah. He did remind me on Facebook, however, when I took a shot at the fact that he had xeriscaped his front yard, that his water bill was much less than mine here in northern Utah, which I had to give him props for. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, it was great to have you and Mark join us again at Ruby's Inn down there at Bryce Canyon. And I just want to recommend to everybody, if you want to see some of the handiwork of Mark Wade and Bob Grove, you need to log on to their podcast, which is Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark.com. And I shared that also onto our Facebook page. What do we know about our state and national parks for last Memorial weekend? Sounds like it was a little crazy in some places.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah, it was busy. I've talked to some of the tourism directors around the southern part of the state, and they were all busy. I think even up north in some of the areas, you know, which weren't as congested as it is down here. Of course, everybody wants to come down south, and now that it's heating up, that attitude may change a little bit. But Goblin Valley, this is what I couldn't believe. I spend a lot of time in Goblin Valley. I go there several times a year. I know that place well. I've never been there in all the years I've been traveling there. On a day with the parking lot full. I've never seen it full, not once. And all the times I've been there,
amazing.
Which many, many. And this was lined up. I mean, it was packed, lined up, the lights they've never seen before. And, you know, like we've seen here in the St. George area with Sand Hollow, Gunlock Quail, and Snow Canyon's been very, very busy. Zion National Park, I heard, and I live just minutes from the park. I'm here in L.A. Virkin. And in Hurricane Valley.
L.A. Virkin.
L.A. Virkin. And, you know, I saw that.
With all your SoCal friends, right?
That's right. Now, and believe me, they're all here. The park, I think it was like 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, the scenic drive was already full. They had it closed off. That's the drive that goes up to the Temple of Sinawava. And by 11 a.m., the park was packed full. So, and this was expected, you know, until this has been my feeling is that until our neighboring states, other states around the West open up their parks and attractions, people are coming here because we're ahead of the curve, you know, where people are coming here. But as this is also, you know, Mark and I are consultants, so we kind of keep our ear to the ground and watch what's going on out there. As other things start opening up around the West, other parks and so forth, we'll start seeing this dipping a little bit. It won't stay the way it is right now. It will eventually start dipping, and we won't see the congestion that we're currently seeing. It's just right now, we're ahead of the rest.
Yeah.
So they're coming here.
And the thing people have to be mindful of is exactly what you said. They're going to have to close down some of these parking areas and access to the park pretty early on the weekends on some days. And so staying in contact with the websites of these state parks or the national parks, or if you can find a lifeline in the form of a Twitter account. I know they were going to try and do that, where they would send out information about what the loads were like on any given day, will be important for you to go take advantage of these things. But, Russ, we've talked about this, and Bob, you too, for years. We have pushed and pushed and pushed for people to have some appreciation of what's in our own backyard. And it gratifies me on a couple of levels. First of all, that there is a desire and a mental attitude for people to get back to living life. The other thing is they're taking advantage of what's right outside our back door. And, Russ, we, you know, pushed ourselves through the, seeing all of our state parks in 46 state parks in 72 hours to try and help make that point. It feels good that people are taking that opportunity.
It really is, but, you know, it's still the thing is you go through the state parks, especially in the southern part of the state, and I think Utah citizens are a minority there because they're greatly utilized from people from out of state because of the level of facilities that we have. You know, what something I wanted to ask you about, Bob, is Kodachrome. They added a bunch of campsites over the last few years. I don't know if you've seen that or not, and I wonder, I assume they're getting pretty well utilized.
They are. In fact, it's if you want to reserve a yurt or a cabin or a campsite, you got to do that well in advance now because they are they do fill up fairly quickly. You know, and one of the other reasons why we get so busy down here, especially in the southwest part of the state, Interstate 15, I mean, it's easy access out of Southern California and Las Vegas to get here. I mean, it's really, really easy and convenient. And so we do get a larger number of visitors here. But, you know, it'll start leveling off. We'll start seeing things taper off. What we're going to not see this year are buses. We'll see very few buses. We're losing most of that international traffic. And a lot of the domestic inbound from back east, we won't see as much. There's talk out there right now that they're going to be infusion of 19 million additional travelers from the U.S. who won't be going abroad now that are going to be staying home. But my prediction is that they're going to stay more regional. I think they're going to stay closer to home. So I don't think we'll see all these gaps completely filled in by just local travelers that are going to be there from the others that won't be.
Yeah. One thing we are going to see is a lot more motorhomes. The sales on motorhomes have just gone through the roof right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. We've been watching this trend for years now, but it is one of the strongest growing trends. I see so many motorhomes out, rentals and, you know, personally owned RVs, but it's a great way to travel. But that's one of the reasons why you're seeing it a little more difficult to find availability at the RV parks and in the campgrounds.
I'll tell you somebody that is going to be disappointed to see these crowds in some of our national parks, and that is the wildlife. they've had their run of the place for quite a while here, and there's been quite a few great stories about it.
Oh, there have. You know, it's like as an example, in Death Valley, they've seen pronghorn down in the lower valleys. I mean, it's been I've never seen pronghorn in the lower valleys, but. Even in these hotter times, I mean, the wildlife is now wandering out and saying, hey, where's all the people? Where are all the humans?
Yeah.
And they're thriving. You know, they're actually thriving in the parks right now. And, you know, this will soon change. But, you know, but they're definitely they've seen a real difference in the behavior of the wildlife.
Well, one of the stranger pictures, and I think we talked about this a few weeks ago on the show, Russ, one of the stranger pictures I've seen of the wildlife in weird places was the bison that were on the beach in Catalina, on Catalina Island.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had bison down there.
Yeah, I don't recall them, at least when I was living down there, I don't recall them having bison, but maybe they did.
Yeah. So we're used to seeing Cub Scouts in some of these areas, but now it's the Cubs that Mama Bear has sent out to scout the area. I think those are the new Cub Scouts. This is going to change the way, and I'm sure this is part of what small rural area businesses find handy with your advice, you and Mark. Is this just going to change the way they'll look to market this year to get people to their spots, I would guess?
Some of these areas are going to have to. I mean, as an example, where we were at Ruby's Inn, they have such a large percentage in their mix of customers that are international and from other parts of the country that's just not going to be there this year. And so they're going to be marketing more to us local travelers from around the West. So we're going to see more and more of that. You know, there are some areas that just are going to struggle, like in the Capitol Reef area in Torrey, these little towns along Highway 12. that, you know, they're, the bulk of their business are these tourists. They're on national park tours that are from all parts of the world, and a lot of that's going to be gone this year. So, you know, what Mark and I are doing are trying to get find ways to help them become discovered, because, you know, there's a lot of Utahns. I mean, Utah's a different market now. Up there in north, it's like marketing out of state now. We could have so many people move into the area that aren't familiar with all our places around the West, and so they're looking for ideas. But if you were to go down the street, you know, State Street in Salt Lake, and ask people how many know where Bluff, Utah is, how many do you think would?
Yeah.
None.
You know, so we're trying to get word out and help get exposure, because these are amazing places. You guys know Bluff. Bluff is one of my favorite places to go.
Tell Tim where Bluff is. Tell Tim where
Bluff
is.
Yeah, Bluff is down in the, you know where it is. It's down in the San Juan County. It's about 50 miles north of Monument Valley on Highway 191. So it's right by Cedar Mesa, below Blanding, just off of Highway 95, the Bicentennial Highway. It's just, Russ, you know where it is.
He's messing with me. Russ is messing with me because I always have to say, have we been there? you know, if it was on our border-to-border trip, or maybe it was on, you know, the time when we were trying to kick or get to all of our state parks in 72 hours. I don't remember a thing. We were driving all night.
Yeah, it's a great hub, isn't it, Russ? I mean, when you stay at Bluff, you are just within, surrounded with all these amazing places to go.
Yeah.
To Valley of the Gods, Goosenecks, Hoven Weep. I mean, it's just, you point the car in any direction.
Yeah, I like Blanding a lot. Same area, not quite as close as Bluff to some of that, but, you know, all that down there, great areas, great people to work with. You know, it's just a great place to go.
All right, guys, we got to wrap it. Go ahead, Bob, one more time.
Well, we got to make a trip to Bluff.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or Blanding or somewhere. We just got to make a trip. I have a buddy, Darren Tucker, who I've known for years, and he's retired now, and he's on the road with his sister. Their dad died not long ago, and so they've been spending a lot of time on the road just enjoying some of the backcountry. And back to what we were talking about with the crowds he was mentioning, because they followed us down to Bryce. And he said the drive across Highway 12 was as stunning as ever. And then he put in parentheses, despite the fact that I've never, and I mean never, have seen traffic like this in the 56 years I've been traveling this famous road.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's busy. But I'm glad to see people are getting out. Bob, tell everybody where to find your podcast.
It's at roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com, and we've post every week new ideas and places to go, sights to see all over the West.
Fantastic work, too, so check it out. We'll take another break and come back and finish out the show next. Don't go away.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, in the final minutes that we have left this week, I wanted to make sure that we get a plug in here for Free Fishing Day. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but I want to make sure everybody has plenty of advance notice to be involved and to help us sort out the information is Faith Jolly. Faith, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So it's coming up next Saturday, and there were a lot of questions whether this would actually take place. And maybe you can give us the details here. Will there be organized events this year, or is it pretty much just letting everybody know they can fish without a license?
Yeah, it's pretty much the latter. So, yeah, because of COVID-19, we decided not to hold any official organized events like we have in the past. We're just kind of recommending places that people can go that will allow them to maintain social distancing. Some of those water bodies that are remote.
One of my favorite places to send people, of course, which makes it a whole lot easier, is just to go to our community ponds instead of even worrying about traveling very far to get to a lake or a reservoir.
Yes, so we do, and we have a ton along the Wasatch Front. So if you want somewhere that is a little bit closer to home, those are a great option. The one thing with those is we're really trying to discourage crowding. So we're kind of letting people know, if you do show up to a water body and it looks pretty crowded and there's already a lot of people there, maybe try and hit up another spot. That's kind of why we recommended some of these that we did on our website. Just kind of different water bodies across the state that are large and you can hit up and maintain that social distancing. But yeah, there's a lot of great opportunities around the state, and this is obviously a great day to take somebody fishing for the first time, kind of. And so, yeah, we recommend, you know, if you have somebody that you've been wanting to take, you know, it might be a little harder this year because we're, you know, encouraging people to maintain social distancing. So we're kind of telling people mainly to stick with people that live in your own home. But yeah, if there's somebody, you know, take your kids or, you know, maybe an older relative that's never been, this is a great day to do it.
One of the bummers about not having organized events, which have happened in the past, usually for at least a half day, is that we usually had a lot of loaner equipment. So even single moms out there who, you know, didn't have the money or the access to equipment would have them. And maybe that's a good idea. If because of social distancing, you've got a neighbor that has expressed interest in it, maybe you loan them a rod or a reel and send them out somewhere.
Yep, exactly. That's a great idea. Because, yeah, it is. That's kind of one of the barriers sometimes, is people just don't have equipment and they don't want to invest in all the equipment before they've decided it's something they enjoy. So, yeah, that's a great idea as well. If you can't take somebody yourself because of social distancing, maybe let them borrow your gear and kind of give them a quick tutorial or have them watch videos on YouTube on how to, you know, bait a hook and things like that. But, yeah, it's just a really fun opportunity to get out and, you know, try something new or introduce somebody to something new, and more importantly, just enjoy Utah's beautiful outdoors right now.
I mentioned this earlier, but it's worth mentioning again that even though we say you don't need a license, you still have to follow all the usual regs and bag limits or anything else that might be particular to that body of water.
Yes, and that is important to know. So before you go, you know, maybe kind of pick where you want to go, whether that's a community pond or, you know, one of these 20 water bodies we're recommending across the state. Yeah, make sure you look online. Our fishing guidebook is there, and it'll basically break down some of those regulations, you know, limits, things like that for each of the water bodies. So those are definitely important to know.
You usually have some good news about the stocking of particularly the community ponds just before Free Fishing Day. Any information you can share on that?
Any specifics this year? Those are also available on our website. So that if you want to go somewhere that's just recently been stocked, that's a good resource. Go on our website. You can look it up by water body, and it'll tell you when they were last stocked and with what species.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to catch a specific species, you can check that out as well. But yeah, I know a lot of them have been. We were kind of halting stocking for a little bit, you know, during COVID-19, but it is ramped back up. And so a lot of those water bodies have been stocked recently, I believe.
Yeah, good. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But here's,
totally fine.
Here's the other thing I like about the list that you have on the website, which again is wildlife.utah.gov. And then just, I'm sure there's some links there to Free Fishing Day information. Yes, your community ponds are close, but for heaven's sakes, if you're in Morgan County, East Canyon's not far. If you're in Box Elder County, Manaway is just a few miles up the canyon where you can get lots of warm water species, bluegill and bass, along with some trout. But also northern Utah, Flaming Gorge, if you want to make a drive, that's another spot that you could take in. Or down in Utah County, Utah Lake, of course, is right out your back door.
Yes, and that one's, you know, again, most of these are huge water bodies. You know, they're going to need to social distance. And, you know, even, yeah, some of them, I was up at Strawberry Reservoir last weekend. I live in Salt Lake. And it's literally maybe an hour and a half. Like, it's not far. And that's a gorgeous area. And so, yeah, there's a lot of places right here along the Wasatch Front that are available, you know, along with these community ponds that we're offering.
Well, if there's one sport, and we were joking about this earlier, if there's one outdoor sport that has always been, I guess, holding social distance rules, it's fishing, because nobody wants anybody fishing over their shoulder. So
exactly.
Keep your 6 feet.
By nature, yep.
Yeah.
It's a good one, yeah.
Don't throw your bobber in my spot, please.
Right, totally.
Take a look at all of the suggestions, and don't forget next Saturday is Free Fishing Day here in Utah. Just a little bit of normalcy, which we're all looking for these days. Faith Jolly, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
Hey, and just a reminder, Russ had to sneak out, but if you're looking for a sat phone or you're looking for any other location devices that you might be able to rent from him or even purchase, make sure you give him a call. 801-450-8317 is his number, or check them out online at skycallsatellite.com. That'll do it for the show this week. Don't go away. The Greenhouse Show is coming up next. Ton and Maria here on KSL, and we'll see you next Saturday.